Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp.
Hi, everyone. We are just so excited because this is the inaugural podcast for a brand new company, Influential She. I'm Deb Soholt.
And I'm Mel Schopp. And we are actually sitting in Deb's house today, have been drinking a number of cups of coffee and reminiscing, which I think that our listeners would be really interested to know how in the world we got here. And sometimes I think we even ask ourselves that same question. But Deb, do you remember some of the first times that we talked about this adventure between the two of us?
You know, it's such an interesting thing, Melody, because we didn't know each other all that long.
No.
And all of a sudden we ended up in this conversation about wanting some different things for women than what we had for ourselves. And so I don't know when we started, like 2-3 years ago, really having a conversation about what do we do to help women? How do we want to give back? What do we do with, you know, combined 80 years of experience and share that with others?
And I think what was interesting when I think back on those initial conversations,
always wine.
Yeah, it was always a glass or two of wine together. And then lots of coffee when we would get together in the mornings. Always good food and wine makes anything better. But those initial conversations have changed a lot over the last couple years with the same focus that we really wanted to make sure we could help women. But I think the initial thing about where we wanted to end up is much different than where we are today. And that makes me really excited because the whole idea of an influential woman is where we were in the back of our minds thinking, but we certainly did not articulate it at that point.
And we didn't start there.
No, we were thinking leadership thingy or, you know, speaking engagements, which we hope that we can do.
Do we mentor people in the long term? Do we try to have a cohort of women and shepherd them along? And, you know, one thing led to another, but then all of a sudden we had this moment where we said, you know, it really is just about influence wherever you are as a woman. So you may be in a formal leadership position. You may be just beginning your career. You may be ending a career and transitioning. You may be just wanting to be influential in your family unit. Mm-hmm. You may be wanting to be more influential in your community circle. Mm-hmm. So it's once we got on to understanding how we wanted to relate principles to women and to help them really learn from a lot of our mistakes. I mean, we've spent a lot of time laughing about the mistakes that we've made.
Right. I think it's been the best therapy we've had for each other. It's a little cheaper than probably other sort of therapeutic sorts of sessions. But first of all, when we talk about influence, I am going to give you the credit for this one, Deb. The Influential She, the name. I do remember the day we came up with that, and we were both so pumped because it said exactly what I think we're trying to articulate, is that we want women to be more influential. So Influential She was born. And then it was really boiling down.
And you know what? I think even before we get there about that name, Influential She, because we've had a lot of questions as this company has been coming together about, you know, well, what about he and what about men? And it's like, well, Influential She for us was we really wanted to be clear about who we're talking to. And it's not at the detriment of others. It's really that we're women. We understand women. We have been women living in this journey and trajectory of building a life and building careers for a long, long time. So we wanted our naming to really speak to what in the world it was that we were up to and who it was that we were wanting to talk to.
Right. Because I know that you've said it many times that we have not lived inside of a male life and would not be able to really clearly speak to that. And so we're speaking from the place of that we know best, that we feel that we can support best. And that passion has been part of who we've been for a long time and really did not even know that we had that sort of same commonality in what we wanted to be able to do for women, old and young, as you said before.
Well, and you started talking about how we distilled that down.
Yeah.
Go tell us a little bit more about that.
You know, I remember when we started this out and we got this idea that we should probably be talking about some specific ideas or practices. And that was born out of actually a conversation that we had with a woman from University of Michigan, Deborah Ball. And she has created what they call 10 high leverage practices for educators that she has clearly stated that when you do these and you do them well, you can become more, she didn't use the word influential, but that you're able to hone your practice by really embracing those. And there's 21 of them. So after that conversation that we had with her, we thought, what are the practices that we really believe that women should know and embrace to become influential in their space? And we started out, Deb, wasn't it, with, I think we had like 20 of them initially.
Lots of conversations. And lots of stories about where we didn't think we were using that practice well.
Exactly.
I think that's a lot of what helped us get clear.
Right. Because we knew what we had not done well, that we were then able to back up and rename it into where we got today. So today we boiled it down to 10.
And I think if you think about this high leverage practice, what we really like about it is this imagery of a lever. So if you think about what a lever does, it's something that can move and create a massive amount of output. So when we think about leveraging influence, how can you take that lever concept and do the least amount of work and get the maximum amount of acceleration to the influence of your life? And so that's where we started talking about how do you accelerate your influence? And it is by using levers, using these high leverage practices that can really help you identify where are you at this point in your life? What do you want for yourself? Where are you headed? And how do you take this application of ideas and understand, you know, really assess yourself on where are you at in relationship to maturity and development within them?
The thing, though, I know that we just talked about this morning as we were discussing one of the levers or high leverage practices was that you can't really isolate them and that they're not, you know, it's not like each one is strictly stands on its own because they're also interrelated. And that's what we think is really powerful about the 10 high leverage practices, because even if you do one well or if you feel like that that's something you're really strong in, it's so tied to every other practice and it really builds on this entire whole being of what a strong, influential, confident woman should be. So it isn't like each one is separate and you can just master this one and then go on to number two and number three and number four. And I think that that's what we feel is really powerful about what we put together is this interconnectedness of the practices that support and help each other.
That's just such a good point, Mel, because when you think about, there's so much literature out there that has like, do these five steps and then you're going to be just so successful. Follow this recipe card and then everything's going to turn out great for you. We could clearly see how, yes, there's always things to glean and learn from that kind of information. But the high leverage practices that we're talking about is an application of ideas in a holistic way. Now, we've called them all out in separate categories, and we've given explanation, and you know we're going to get into those in a little bit. But they really, as you said, cannot stand all by themselves. They're all together. Just like you, as a woman who is trying to become more influential, you're not just one thing or another. Right. You are all a holistic person, and that's how we see our high-leverage practices.
We had an interesting conversation when we decided to name the high-leverage practices. And so we call them, or the acronym for them is the HLPs, but we also gave it another title. We call them the Talismanic 10, which I joke or I laugh a lot at myself because I could not pronounce it for a long time. And Deb kept correcting me. Talismanic 10. So Deb, in your articulate way.
Not the Tasmanian devil.
I know I called it the Tasmanian. Yeah, so I have to own that. I have to own that little blooper at one point in time. But the Talismanic 10. Deb, please explain that.
What we started to think about is that when we want to give advice to people, to women, you know, we're really taking our 80 years of experience and talking about how did we distill that down to critical factors that we think are really important. But it's really about unlocking the mystery of you. So when you think of what a talisman does, it's very mysterious. We're not really sure of all the answers. And I think that's really clear between Mel and I. We are not here to give you all the answers. We're here to help you see how these high leverage practices can help you unlock the mysteries of you. And we just think that's really exciting to think about because it's about a self-discovery. It's about holding this space of mystery within yourself. And that's why we call them the Talismanic 10, because they're not finished yet. They're not finished until you pick them up and then another woman picks them up and another woman picks them up. And so they will unfold individually for everyone. And we think that that's so exciting because it keeps it in that space of we don't know the ending. We don't know what's fully going to happen.
I think that we've been learning that over the last month or so. We've had an amazing opportunity to go out and interview a number of women and sharing podcasts, which we're really excited to share with all of you, and talk about powerful stories that have been pieces of each one of these practices. And we started to see how they were also intertwined. But in the same way that they're mysterious, we are learning every single day in this journey along the way about what powerful things there are that are out there currently that women can give advice and support, and also have a lot of questions about where they're at within their trajectory as well.
You know, before we get into the high leverage practices themselves, I think it'd be interesting for our listeners to know that when we started to look at this, we took a look at what literature is out there for women. And there's like the very top, and there's, you know, a few CEO women that exist, mm-hmm. not that many, but those that are out in the world, they have written books and, you know, there's certain relevance that happens, but many times that can feel somewhat unattainable because it's someone maybe from New York or California, or, you know, they're in spaces where just day-to-day women go, hey, I can't relate to that. I do like some of the concepts that are said, but, you know, I'm not living in Silicon Valley. I'm not, you know. And then when you start to look at other literature for women, it really has to do with what we call kind of the basic fundamental literature for women in any kind of influence space. And it talks about how do you manage your family and how do you, you know, be in a career and how do you take care of yourself, running, do you have massages? But in between that, those two spaces, there's just a void. And when we started looking at, certainly there's some literature, but most of it's written by men. And we just felt that there really needed to be a way to talk to women directly, to talk about a woman's lived experience, your lived experience, my lived experience, how that comes together, people that we have known, and to be able to help fill in that gap. And certainly there's leadership information and all kinds of development and training, but that can be for both men or women, mm-hmm. but that's more generic. So Influential She is all about coming at it through the female lens, and we think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And we are having a lot of fun. In the meantime, we look at each other some days and go, I'm like, what in the world are we doing?
What are we doing?
but we know that we really have gotten so much feedback about the power of what we are when we're talking to women and talking about the potential. And so with that, I think we should just dive into these 10 high leverage practices and talk at a kind of a high level about what they're about. And what's interesting too, I think as we get into them, we find little nuggets of things or we hear a story, whatever. It's like, oh my gosh, we need to add that to that practice. And so they continue to grow and develop every time that we talk them through or talk to other people.
And so, you know, and that's what it's going to be about, these podcasts and having really great people on illuminating one of the high leverage practices we go along.
Right.
And so for those of you that are going to follow along with us over time, there'll be just all these very rich stories that will help you see where am I at in relationship mm-hmm. to that, with these wonderful nuggets of advice and information about that high leverage practice. So let's just go over them. Let's go.
Yeah. And you know, there is no specific order, although I think that we have ordered them in some ways that we think is somewhat logical, but it isn't like, you know, you have to do number one before you can do number two, number three. But one of the first ones that we start with is self. And, you know, in the high leverage practice of self, we have a tagline for each one that we feel is really helpful to just sort of articulate what that practice is about. But this is being completely who you are and living out your values. And Deb, I know that you've done a lot of work in this previously to you coming to our work together with a number of people. But again, do you want to talk a little bit about the value things that you have worked through and some of the things that you can add to that would be great.
Well, I think what's so interesting is that I really had to take a deep dive for myself. And I actually worked with a life coach to make that happen. To look at, I knew I was in a place of needing to move on and to do something different. And I think what's interesting is when I started to really get into my own values, what was important to me, how am I living out those values? And those values don't go away. They're like deep inside of you. And some that I had just so hidden away that were not even a part of how I was doing my daily living. And it was making me sad. I mean, at like the deep soul level. What was interesting is that there came a day, and this is way before, in fact, I didn't even remember this when we named our company. So this is just how these things happen in your life, and you keep going and then they show up again. But there came a day when I was thinking about myself and had been in corporations for a long time and working as a nurse. And I just said, you know what? Today, I am no longer corporate Deb. I am now influential Deb. And at that moment on, I started to shift my place in the world and how I was going to express myself and how I was going to build influence for good. And so that was way before Influential She. In fact, I didn't even recall it when we were talking about naming Influential She. It was something I came across in a journal after we got going on this company. But that was an example of understanding that that value of influence was more important to me than the value of, and however that would express itself. And right after that, I ran for the state legislature and was elected as a state senator. And so it doesn't mean you're not in a chain of corporate titling, if you will, but it was how I was going to express it. I was no longer that just I am the corporation persona. It wasn't working for me.
Right. I know we talk about feeling in the groove. And we all know we feel that way. We feel really good about where we're at. And that sort of leads us into that next practice of what is, which we subtitle an honest assessment of understanding, accepting your current reality. So, I think we both have talked a lot about between us, we go back into where we came from and had some realities of what is. For instance, I was a teacher in the tiny little town of Lemon, South Dakota for 24 years. And my reality was at that point in time, I lived 170 miles from the nearest mall and airport and any sort of those opportunities that would have gotten me.
And now you just fly all over the place all the time.
Now I do. But that was my reality. That was what I had to own. That was my what is. But it didn't stop me, which I think we're going to talk a little bit later. It kind of goes on to another practice of doing and moving out of that stuckness. But those realities, that assessment, as I had to be, honest with myself, I had two young children. I was living on a farm. What was I going to do with that? And making that honest assessment and understanding what the what is that can help you then to be really brazen, I think, in thinking about what is the next possibility, which is another one of our things. So, Deb, do you want to say anything else about what is? Because
I think one of the things in the high leverage practice of what is we talk about the internal assessment. So Where are you at? Your microsphere, mm-hmm. like inside of you and your confidence, and where are you at in relationship to this job that you're trying to do? Where are your relationships at with yourself and with those in your immediate sphere, your family? But then also the external environment of the macrosphere. So what kind of business are you in? Where are you trying to leverage influence? What is going on? And an actual real stripped down assessment, because so many times we don't take a good look at what that is. And so this practice is all about really understanding the inside of you and the outside of you, and then being able to move from that place.
I think you call it truth slapping.
It's like a truth slapping, because sometimes it's painful. It is like a slapping, honestly, like, wow. Because the reality of it is like, ow, that hurt, or I don't like how that looks, mm-hmm. or, the honesty of that, I can pretend it isn't like that.
Yeah.
But when I really peel back the onion and I look at what is going on, I'm honest about it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it really is a truth slapping.
And then at that point, it's making some decisions about whether you need to change that and what you need to do about it. But let's move on to the next one, which is probably the one that I'm most intrigued with because I haven't really been in this space like Deb has. It's called BioU, and it's knowing your innate biological self. This, I do have to say, is a practice that we are bringing to Influential She that you won't find in many other places because it really is quite unique in the way that we're approaching it through the eyes of a woman, but also how important this is in tying everything together. Deb, this is your passion. This is your baby. This is your work.
Well, this BioU is like biology and you. So that's why we're calling it BioU. And this is really about how do you function? Like I just keep saying it's biology, baby. There's just like, it isn't good or it isn't bad. It just is what it is. And so I've spent the last 20 years or so of my career really helping women through a women's health clinic understand how their body works, not only their sex hormone patterns and, what is that different as a woman, but also understanding how your body always knows first And your body always leads on what is happening to the rest of you. So if things are out of whack, you're going to start to feel it in your gut, your adrenal system. Your cortisol levels will go up when you're under stress. You start to store food as fat. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that happen. And so we're going to actually be teaching that. You would normally think about this is something that's in a women's health book, that this is somewhere in, you know, the medical literature somewhere. And yes, it is. But if you want to be influential, you really have to understand this and how does your body work. Secondly, we're going to dig into thinking about really the difference between men and women. Again, not good or bad, just is. It's biology. Mm-hmm. So we have to be prepared if we're going into, like, for instance, men are just biologically driven with testosterone, that somebody probably needs to win. And the younger the men are, the more they're just biologically driven to do that. So if you're going into a room in a meeting with mostly 30-something, 40-something men, and you think you're going to go in and we're going to have high collaboration and we're going to come out with a shared experience, no, probably not. Probably someone's going to somewhat win. Now, it doesn't mean they're bad people, but it just is what it is. So as a woman, you have to clearly understand where you're headed and understand bio-you on the way in. And I think that that's going to be a tool to help accelerate influence. And when things are happening with a woman's cycle and how you might be feeling good or not feeling good, and when does your body biology tell you to pull away, to go forward? So it's going to be a really interesting topic to dig into.
Mm-hmm. And I know that when I've talked to some women about that, they're excited about that. It's just not something that's talked about a lot. And so I think that we're going to add a lot.
Yeah, we're going to bust that wide open.
Yeah. One that I'm really excited about is the next one we talk about is connection, leveraging connection, building those relationships, those meaningful relationships with yourself as well as others. And I think throughout both of our careers, we have been, and I don't know, I think we felt obligated to build connection in a very, whether it was a genuine sort of way. So I think a lot of times we think about connection and we read a lot about this out today. You got to make connection, you got to connect, you got to connect. And I think that we feel like if we go to a social and we get a whole lot of business cards.
Network,
yeah, get them on social media, that we're really making that connection. We see it though as a lot more of how connection can really help you to be an influential woman. So,
and I think there's variations in that, mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be almost a continuum of connection where some are, you're just connecting on a very, I don't even want to use the word one-dimensional, but it's not at depth. And then other connections you really have at depth. So there can be multiple ways to interrelate, but we were going to talk a lot about the integrity of how that's done and how do you even connect with people that you don't really like very much and don't get along with. But yet in your world of influence, you really need to. You can't just hang out with people that think and act just like you. So those connections can be to help you grow, help you understand yourself more. So we're going to get into that.
And bring in your real self to the party.
Bring in your real self to the party.
And at that party, whichever party it might be, another high leverage practice we're focusing on is voice. And this is one I think that's being written on a little bit more. Voice and story are sort of out there. I think we're bringing sort of a unique way of looking at that, where we're using your voice to elicit thinking in others. So it's not just speaking on your own, but helping to elicit that thinking as you go through. Voice also means that you need to be able to listen well, and that's part of it as well. So one of the comments that we make as we've been talking about this is that two influencers are able to raise their words and not just their voices. And when you think about that phrase, it's really important that how we say things are just as critically as important as what we say, and how are we making sure that we're having our voices heard in a positive way rather than in this negative sort of fashion. Anything else, Deb, that you want to add?
You know, I just think that it also comes from this place of understanding influence versus just speaking. And so we're going to spend a lot of time talking about not only just voice modulation and when to use it, but also when do you hold it? Mm-hmm. When do you hold your voice? Because you can be more influential by being patient, mm-hmm. and thinking things through. So, and you know, many times everybody's just like, if you talk louder, you talk faster, you talk above it, that's how you become more influential. And we know that in some instances you do have to really be at the front of whatever that conversation is. But there's many times the more powerful position is to hold back. You know, another high leverage practice for us is doing. And of course, you know, when you think about what we've even discussed up till now, there's lots of doing involved in that. But when we're looking at the high leverage practice of doing, it's really how do you move on from stuckness? That many times we have this committee in our head that just keeps talking back and forth, and we are frozen. We don't get anything done. And this can go on for a very long period of time. So doing is not only about moving on from stuckness of maybe a position, a job that isn't good for you, but you could be in a job that you really need to stay in. And we understand that because there's benefits, there's family needs, there's family obligations, there's I just don't have the luxury of leaving what I'm doing right now. However, you can still move on from stuckness within that experience that you're in, even though in the total aggregate you might feel stuck. There is a way of being within that, of doing your work in a way that you still are moving on from being stuck.
I think we were just talking about this earlier today. You talked about you can move on from stuckness in your attitude. So sometimes we all get stuck in a certain space where this is just what we bring. This is just who we are. I've heard people say that before. It's like, this is who I am. And you're stuck in that attitude. So it's more than just moving on from position. It can be attitude.
It can be anything.
Yeah.
And so this doing piece isn't just about, you know, just doing something for the sake of doing. Mm-hmm. It's about saying, based on that, what is assessment? How do I now move on from a place I'm stuck in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe physical, maybe emotional. Yeah.
So maybe that leads us to the next one with, you know, leveraging as if, or we say proceeding until apprehended. And somebody looked at this the other day. I was sharing some of the HLPs with them. And so those who know me well know that I have a little bit of trouble with speeding. And they said, are you going to talk about when you proceeded until you're apprehended and you're speeding? But it has nothing to do with that. But it's just that so many times, and I think this is more probably normal for women to do, is that we sit around, we wait and we wait until we get permission to do something.
Well, and really proceeding until apprehended was so much of a mantra that, in fact, my team actually, you know, gave me a cup that said that. And I'm like, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to proceed until apprehended. And so because many times you can try some things on for size and you don't need permission from anyone. You can just start making it happen as if. And as if is also about assuming in your mind where you want to be. So you may not be in a position that you want to be in, but I am going to start acting as if I am in that place because, and I don't mean this in a haughty, egotistical way, but it's really about bringing new skills into your life earlier than the place where you have the actual sanctioning to do it. Nobody has to give you permission.
Right. So that's why, as we say that these are so connected, that's sort of a nice segue into our next high leverage practice of possibility. Because if you're thinking about that, you know, what are the possibilities? And it's really thinking about and using your imagination and thinking about what could possibly happen, or we could call a person, we call them possibilists, shaking up conventional wisdom to unleash imagination and innovation. How many times have we all heard that phrase? What is, you know, follow your dreams? Well, what does it mean to follow your dreams as you're doing that? And that's really though, when you think about it, we're living in possibility. It's living and believing in something bigger than yourself, living in something bigger than really those conventional worldviews, which I think we probably tend to think that relates back to the last couple practices ago about being stuck. But the possibility of what could be when you really believe that in possibility, that's when momentum begins to happen.
Well, and just it's more than being optimistic. You know, this is really about seeing something, envisioning something bigger than yourself and being with other people in something bigger than yourself. And that's been a key value for me in my whole life of wanting to be a part of community, wanting to be with people that are striving for something bigger than themselves. So this world of possibility is just, as a lever, is a really exciting place. And again, you don't have to leave the place that you're in to start being a possibilist.
Right. Exactly. And that's probably where, too many of us are too, if we want to call stuck or afraid to step out of that, but gives us the opportunity to at least think about going forward is where I think it takes us.
Now, this next high leverage practice, I mean,
it's
Melody, this is your baby. So she brought a word to the forefront because we were trying to talk about what is this being able to almost get to the 10,000 foot level of looking at multiple situations and how if you're a person of great influence, you can connect sometimes looking very random things mm-hmm. together. Well, that word is perspicaciousness. Mm-hmm. So Melody, this one came from you. Yeah. So why don't you share what that's all about?
We always joke between us. It's like, if you can spell it, that's a good start on this. We had to,
we're gonna start being it.
Yeah. And not only that, but I think that we had to really look it up. First, to know how to pronounce it before we could use the word. So,
well, and this was really searching for a word that would describe what it was we were trying to find out.
Yeah, and it's the perfect word. But what perspicaciousness is, it's embracing that unusual power to comprehend and act on things that are kind of puzzling to other people at times. So, you know how sometimes people are able to look at a situation, it's almost like you step, like Deb said, you step and you're looking from up above, you're looking down, you're saying, you know what, based on all the things that I'm seeing, that, you know, being able to pull it together and having that power, that ability to notice and understand things quickly. And that's a really important, I don't know if you want a principle to be able to embrace, because when you're able to do that, you are able to observe behaviors, but then you're able to take action on them at the same time. So one of the pieces that I think some people are more inclined to be able to have this ability to do, but to be aware of it is also really, really critical and really, really important. So we're excited to be able to talk more about that. And I think that it's something that maybe a lot of times people don't name it this way, but once we start talking about it, they're able to recognize how important that is.
And they recognize when they have been able to use that lever before. And to help exemplify that through stories that people are going to talk about, how they're able to look at all of the landscape, if you will, the bigger horizon, and see how that all fits together. Again, just like a woman isn't one separate part, neither are the situations that you're in just one separate part. There's always multiple things going on. And how do you widen your viewpoint? And how do you become perspicacious and be able to use this lever to act in a new way, to start to bring things to the table that other people aren't even thinking about?
Right. Which I think brings us very clearly to our last high leverage practice, which is the practice of story. And in fact, a lot of what we've been doing throughout this entire last couple years is developing not only our story, but we're starting to listen to and understand other people through their stories. And it's developing that empathy and that shared understanding. I used to always say in the work that I would do previously that people can't trust you until they know you. And so it was so critically important that they understood who I was, where I came from, to be able to really have that true understanding, the empathy for what I was trying to be able to do, whether it's within an organization or whether it's with people that you get to know. So the amazing, amazing stories that we've been able to hear from other women over the last month or so have really helped to bring a new understanding of who they are, but also I think has been really powerful for the two of us. And that's a piece that we're really excited to be able to share with all of you.
And I think the other part about story is, what story are you telling about yourself? Mm-hmm. So many times it's a very small story, and yet there is a very big story to tell. So this is about how do you, and I'm not talking about a long story. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about a powerful story. And so in being influential, it's about acknowledging your independent, individualized story. And then how do you communicate that to the world in a way that accelerates your influence versus diminishing it?
So, because there can be negative loop stories too that we're going to talk about somewhat too, where, you know, sometimes we own a story that is not doing us well. But the powerful stories that we can have and help to be able to develop those and use them in ways that builds your influence is a really critical, important point.
So let's just review the Talismanic 10, the high leverage practices that influential she is going to be bringing to you. It's the practice of self. What is bio you?
Connection, voice, doing, as if.
Perspicaciousness, possibility, and story.
Yeah. And so stay tuned for those. We're really excited to be able to share more with you.
So what's going to happen with Influential She? Well, Melody and I are doing a lot within social media. So you can please, please become our friends on Facebook and follow us and share with your friends. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, LinkedIn. We're going to be posting podcasts on our website, influentialshe.com. We're also going to be doing speaking engagements and helping with interactive seminars to help people really dig into the high leverage practices and to use them to accelerate their influence. You know, we just want something new for women of the future. Melody and I could clearly see that we have, you know, probably no time is wasted. But between us, we each have talked about, I would say for me in an aggregate, and you've shared the same thing, about 15 years or so that I was just wandering around in the wilderness, pretty unfocused. Now, it wasn't all at the same time, but how could, by knowing these high leverage practices earlier in my life, how much I could have accelerated influence, but even more than that, like had a lot more fun.
Exactly.
A lot more fun.
Exactly.
Because it would have been more directly connected to who I am versus what other people want, think I should be or want for me. It's what feeds me at the soul level because it's based on who I actually am as a person. And then how can I take that and do good in the world?
Yeah. And when you learn that later in life, I think that we have learned...
We're still learning.
We're still learning. Every day. Exactly. And every day when we have one of those panic moments where we're able to step back from it all. But the thing that we've learned to do is to be able to laugh, enjoy, and have fun with where we're at in our lives. Every individual, and of course we're focusing on women, should be able to do the same thing on a daily basis. And, you know, we come all buttoned up a lot of times to our positions and our jobs. We have all these other demands on us. But still being able to step back from that and thinking about how we can use influence and the things that we're going to be talking about in a positive way, really want that for every single woman and just have fun and be influential at the same time, I think.
You know what Mel and I say is that we are a fresh voice in an old conversation, and it's time to bust that conversation wide open. So join us. Come along. InfluentialShe.com. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.